For 2 weeks, Nancy and I have been studying this little lesson. I'm not a preacher. I'm not, and I'm not going to pretend to be. But I think we have a message that you can hear. And things, that when we work these out at home, always seem a little bit better than what it does right now. So,
I'm out of my comfort zone.
So both of us are. But I think right now, if we look at the world, what the world truly needs now is someone that will come and tell them what the Lord has done for them. Someone that will talk to them a little bit and kind of ease them and let them know that there is hope out there. And so with this, I've chosen to read just a section out of Matthew, verse 28, and I'm going to read verses 16 through 20. Thank you. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. I'll read it out of the Bible. Okay. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. And this got my attention, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. How do I begin this?
You came to the Lord late in life.
Yeah. I came to the Lord very late in life. I stood up here before and told you my testimony. I'm a little further down the road now than I used to be. And I'm struggling right now. Has the Lord ever put a burden on your heart, a hard burden on your heart, that you did not want to do? Seems to happen to me all the time. I talk to a lot of people and they say, "The Lord don't speak to you anymore. That's done and over with." And I don't believe that to be true. I believe the Holy Spirit, if nothing else, speaks to us every day. We run into people every day that need hope. We run into people every day that need to know what we, sitting in this church, know. The opening of this was, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. And for this purpose, for the purpose that I'm at least doing right now, you are the disciples. We are all the disciples of Christ. If we're not, we need to be making that true. So with that being said, what I have gotten myself into the habit of doing, I can't tell you how many people that I've brought the word of the Lord to. 30, 40, 23 kids have given their life to the Lord and followed up with baptism. So what I'm going to do today is I was reading through my journal. I keep a journal, and I was reading through my journal. And there are a lot of things that I forgot that I did. So with that in mind, I put three stories together of different people that happened to be in our neighborhoods. And Nancy and I took the time to go to their house, knock on the door, and talk to them about the Lord. I don't want this to be a message about me. I don't want this to be a message about Nancy. I want this to be a message to each and every one of us, what God does for us when we simply obey what he asks us to do. I have the name of three people here on this list. If you can't tell, I'm nervous. I have three stories, and we're going to start this first story with a man named Bud. A lot of you would probably know who it is if I would tell you more about him, but I don't want to do that. The Lord put a burden on my heart to go see Bud, and it was a burden. I didn't want to do it, Bud was a mean, nasty, foul-mouthed individual who wanted nothing to do with the church. He wanted nothing to do with anyone coming to his door. And I kept saying, Lord, I don't think you want me to do this. And he kept reinforcing that I should do this. And she knows the struggles that I went through. He lived about 4 miles from me. So when I worked up the nerve, I got in my truck and I started it and I started heading his way. Wendell's heard some of this before. Every stop sign I came to, I sit there for a second and thought, is this me? Is this just me imagining this? Am I crazy? And I'll go a little further. So I went down the road a little piece, another stop sign, and I stopped again. Is this really what I'm supposed to do? Is this really God talking to me, or am I just imagining these things? Well, finally, I made it to his house, and I went to the front door, and I knocked on the door, and he asked me who it was, and I told him, it's me. It's Mike, and I believe the Lord wants me to talk to you. And he told me to go home. I don't want to hear anything. So, like a good little guy, I went home. Well, it wasn't day two, three. This has been 10 years ago. It was day or two or three. And I said, the Lord's still after me. So the second time I got in my truck and I went driving down the road thinking about, is this just me? Is this just me? Because it sounds like foolishness to me. It sounds like I'm crazy. And I know I'm not. So I get to his house the second day. I knock on the door. Told him who I was. And he said, I'm not interested. Go home. And I know the Lord is still pushing me hard. So I went home. And as I said, I know the Lord was pushing me very hard. And I went back there the third day. And when I went back the third day, I said, Bud, it's me. I believe in all my heart that God wants me to come to you and tell you some things. And he said, I believe he does. And he opened the door. And he let me in. I didn't have to do much talking to begin with. He was crying. He was upset. And I always, with all the people that I talk with, I always say a prayer for them and with them, not having anything to do with salvation, just having a prayer just to ask that God would come into his heart, that God would be with me as I pray over him. And by the time I finished that prayer, Bud was telling me how much he needed the Lord. I didn't say anything. Bud knew that Jesus wanted to talk to him. So I said, I explained to him exactly what this meant. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And he said, yes, I do. I said, do you believe that God raised him from the dead? And he said, yes, I do. I said, do you believe that he can take your sins away, that when Christ died on the cross, that was to take your sins away? Do you believe that? And he said, I do. So I had him repeat that prayer with me. And we were both crying and sobbing at the time. And that was it. But the point I want to bring out here is that I went to him the first day. Nothing happened. I went to him the second day. Nothing happened. What happened on the third day? In Charlie's class this morning, we were talking about what God does and how he does it. And we can't save anybody. All I was a messenger telling someone else where they could find food. And he believed it. That was my first time to go with an adult. I had been with many children and led them, I say children, 17, 18 years old. Many children had accepted and came, but this was the first adult that I'd ever was with. When I left his house, I'm probably leaving a lot of things out, but when I left his house, I snuck around back behind and I got on my knees and I said, God, Thank you, Father, for bringing me here. Thank you, Father, for what's happened. And I pray that if I have said something wrong, I pray that if I have not spoken the truth, that if I have not said the correct things, that you would not blame him for that and to put that burden on me. And I left there. It was about a week and a half later he died. So here's a man that found the gates of heaven and wasn't looking for them. But I ask in for all of you to think about, what did I do? The only thing I did was got in my truck and drove over to his house. I didn't save him. He saved himself. The rest of the stories are going to be very similar to that. So that took me a little while, and I was pretty much messed up about that for a long time. My neighbor and I were mowing our front yards. It seemed to be every time I mow my yard, he'd come out and mow his yard. So anyway, I stopped the mower at the road, and he stopped, and he came over, and I said, "How's life treating you?" And he says, "Oh, it's kind of troublesome right now." He said, "My mother moved in with me." Well, that's always a bad thing. But anyway, he said, "My mother moved in with me. She's staying with us." And I said, "How old is she?" And she's 92. And I said, and he said, "She's dying." And I don't know why I said this. I honestly don't. But I said, "Does she know the Lord?" And he had the strangest look in his eyes. And he looked at me and he said, "I don't know. But I'll go ask. I'll go ask her and see if she knows." And I thought, well, this will be the end of that.
A week later,
he came back. And he said, "Yes, Mom wants to talk to you." I said, "Okay. Well, let me know when you'd like that done." And he said, "I'd like for you to do it as soon as you can." Okay. So I went into the house. Her name was Sarah. And like I said, I just came out of being a teenager's pastor, I guess you'd call it. And now I'm dealing with adults here. And when I walk into her bedroom, if I'm leaving anything out, let me know. When I walk into her bedroom, she probably weighed 65, 70 pounds. She was about this tall. She was skin over bones. And she was writhing in bed, tossing back and forth constantly. And she would say over and over and over, "Why can't I die? Why can't I die?" Well, as I told you before, when I go into a family like that, the family was with us. They were sitting over here. And my wife was sitting right beside me. And then there was Jerry and Rita, the husband and wife. And I always just say a real light little prayer, just something to bring us all together, to kind of point the direction that we're going to head in. Wasn't nothing special. Wasn't nothing fantastic. I said it. It couldn't be fantastic. Anyway, I said this prayer. And the one thing I will say is that it was a very easy prayer to say. For some reason, the words just flowed. Okay, so after I got through with that prayer, I opened my eyes and I look around, and my wife, she's sitting on this side.
Okay, so he was sitting on the bed with her, and he said the prayer, and I'm standing at the end of the bed, and then Jerry, and then Jerry's wife. And it was, I bet we all bowed our heads. And I closed my eyes, and I listened to that prayer, and that room was silent, and you could feel the Holy Spirit in that room with you, and the tears I wasn't even, like, crying. The tears just started flowing, and then when Mike was done, I looked over, and Jerry, his tears was just flowing, and his wife... And Mike turned around and he goes, did I miss something? He said, why are you crying?
What's going on?
But it was just so that God was there, and you could feel it in that room, and you could just hear the words that was coming from Mike, but it was God's words. And it just made you just, the tears just kept running. And then?
Well, you can go ahead.
So when I composed myself, and they all composed themselves, I went up and I sat down beside her. And again, she, at that point, the whole room was calm, which was something new. It was just calm. Everyone was still relaxed, including Sarah. She wasn't writhing in bed anymore. And I went over and I said, can I say a prayer for you? And she shook her head. So I led her again through, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And she said, yes, I do. And I said, do you believe that God raised him from the dead? And she said, yes, I do. And I made her say those words with me. And after we finished saying the prayer, I thanked her, I hugged her, and I went home. Everything was fine because, as I said before, I can't save anybody. All I can do is bring the truth to you. So, when I get home, now here's the blessing that came from that one. Like I said, I didn't understand the prayer that I said. I can't recall it, and I don't understand why everybody was tearful, because I couldn't understand it. So anyway, after I went back home, about a week later, Sarah passed. And so he asked me to come over. He said, my family's going to come to the house. There's going to be about 25 of them, and I'd like for you to tell all of them what you told my mom. And so I did. So they set a chair in the middle of the room. Nancy was with me. And I just told them exactly what I told her. The interesting part about it is that her son, who was sitting right next to the bed, Crosso, was crying. He came to me and asked for salvation. He came to me and asked for me to pray for him to accept the Lord. And so I did. His wife, I couldn't, she didn't want any part of it. She was very pleasant, but she just didn't want to take part in any of it. So the miracle, I think, the thing that happened is that they put me in this middle of this room with 25 husbands and wives and children and wanted me to tell them everything that I told their mom. And I can't believe it. Here I am, very new at doing this, and these people are wanting to hear something I have to say. And as we've all talked already, I can't save anybody, but I can tell them. And God put people in that room, filled that room with people who were earnestly trying to understand what all I was telling them, because these were unchurched people. Completely unchurched, never been in church.
As we walked out, we had, I don't know, maybe 15 of them follow us outside and wanted to hear more.
Followed us from where we were at, crossed the road, and were trying to get into our house. And they're still coming behind us, asking this question and that question and on and on and on. I didn't know what to tell them. I did not know what to tell them. I told them my first suggestion would be to find a Bible and just start reading somewhere. It doesn't matter where you start. Just start reading somewhere.
And we told them that they could come to our church.
Yeah. So I count that as a miracle, that he asked me to come back and there were 25 plus people in there wanting to hear that message. And I still believe that there's 1,025 people right outside of this building that would like to hear that message. And the third story I have, I'm going through this a little quicker than I wanted to, but that's fine. Get me off of here. This lady, probably a lot of you in here will know, Okay, her name was Diane, and she was in Charlie's Sunday school. Diane was a little spitfire, and Charlie used to call her Newcastle. Isn't that right, Charlie? Well, Diane came to me one day after Sunday school, dismissed, and she was insistent that she wasn't going to let me out the door until she talked with me. And what she said was, "I have a sister that's married to a man that refuses to accept the Lord. Will you come and talk to him?" I said, "Well, sure. Where's he live?" And she said, "Well, he's in the hospital. He's laying in bed." And I said, "Just tell me where and I'll go with you." So she took me to his room. She led us over there. And I got in the room, and he was laying in bed, eyes closed, very lethargic. He never offered to move. In fact, most of the times he looked like he was asleep. He struggled. He was struggling. You could tell that with breathing. So anyway, I knelt down right next to him, and I grabbed his hand, and I pulled it to me. And I told him, I said, let's have a little prayer. And so I said a little prayer with him, as I do with everyone that I do this with. I don't start out and tell them how salvation works. I just talk to him about you and I right here. So I prayed with him, and he seemed very comfortable with that. He didn't fight, and he went along with the prayer. And then it turned into 30 minutes, and then it turned into 45 minutes. And Diane was still sitting there, and her sister was also sitting with her. And he was unresponsive. I think 90% of it was a game. I think 90% of it was him just not wanting to hear any more of this. But I was in the room, and I was bound determined that I was going to hang on to this one here. Well, finally, it came to the point where, go ahead and describe what you said.
Well, you have to remember, he was a Christian. And they had their own church. And he even bought a cross for the church. And when we came in, I had a mask on because COVID was still, you know, you're supposed to wear a mask into the hospital. Of course, Mike took his off. Nobody had one on but me. And I'm standing at the edge of the bed, or the head, sorry, the foot of the bed, and I'm back a little bit, and I'm listening to them saying, "You believe in God. Why are you doing this?" And he just, if he didn't want to talk to you, he acted like he was asleep. And if he didn't want to listen to you, he ignored you. And so I'm just listening and taking all this in, and to my opinion, I think that he knew God. He knew God saved him. But I think laying there as long as he did, I think to be honest, I think the devil was working on him, because he said he wasn't worthy, that he was a sinner, that God couldn't forgive him. And so his family and Mike got a little frustrated because he didn't want any part of it. So I decided.
I started praying for him.
And I have you ever prayed? Which I know you prayed for people, and you always remember what you said. But this was different. It was like I was connecting with God, and I was asking Him. I mean, I closed my eyes, I lowered my head, and I prayed. I don't even know how long I prayed. And I remembered at that time what I said. Now it's been too long. I don't remember the exact words. But he was still, and I finished my prayer. And he had his head still on the pillow. And he looks at me, and he's
at the foot of
the bed. And he looks, of course, he's looking at me. I mean, he could see me anyway. He looks at me, and he said, "What is that?" And I turned around to see what that was behind me on the wall, and there was nothing behind me. So I'm thinking, Mike goes, "Well, that's Nancy." And I thought, well, maybe it's the mask. And he said, "That's Nancy, that's my wife."
And Diane and her sister were looking for something in the room, too. couldn't figure it out. None of us
could. And he points at me again, but he kind of pointed up, and he said, "That is bad." And I turned around and looked again to see what's bad behind me. And so I thought, well, maybe it's the mask, and he just sees something. He raised up out of bed,
set up,
and he said the exact words I just prayed for him. So they were all, then Mike did the prayer with him. And everybody, his wife, Diane, and Mike said, he is saved. And it was almost, you could see the peace in his heart because he wasn't struggling, he wasn't mad. And as one of the verses that Mike read, his son said he wasn't sure he believed. His son never
said, "I'm not the Holy Spirit and I can't judge that."
Yeah. And so I said, I prayed for him, and he said the exact words that I prayed to him, and I believe he's saved.
That was the unique thing about what she just said, was the unique thing about this. She was 6 feet from this man. This man was basically asleep most of the time, it appeared. But when you spoke the prayer, whatever it was, I don't even know what she said. The mask was on. I couldn't hear it. No one in the room could hear it. But this man sat up and repeated back to her exactly what she said.
It was kind of like, I know you're, that we're all sinners, but I know God saved us. And he forgave us for all the sins that we did. And it was something similar to that, and he repeated it. And I instantly thanked God, because it wasn't me that saved him. It was God working on him to listen to what I was saying to him. But it was God's words, because it wasn't mine.
Very good. His son, who was with us the full time, as Nancy said, he didn't believe that he had accepted the Lord. Well, we all know that if we accept the Lord knows that. It doesn't matter whether he believes it or whether he doesn't. One of the things that I brought in today, just to read as we summarize here, the Romans Road. Has anybody ever read the Romans Road? In verses 9 and 10, it says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And verse 13 even makes it more specific than that. It says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So that's all we have. Yeah, I'll say a small prayer.
Let me do this for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for listening and putting up with us.
Well, thank you for putting up with him.
Nothing like a wife.
Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity, Lord, that you have given us, Lord, this day to stand up here and tell of some of the things, Lord, that we've seen and that we've done. And we know that all of these things are only possible because of you. Lord, I thank you for all that you do in our lives. I thank you, Father, for all of those who have been saved. And I thank you, Father, and anticipate the things that you will do in the future. And all these things I ask in the name of the only one possible, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Nancy. I think that is a message that we can all...